Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guests will be Ted Rubin and John Andrews. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, Northeast Color, and we'll start the show with a franchise economic update from Franchise Payments Network. For September, Tom Epstein of FPN saw that actual sales volume in FPN's franchise clients rose 12.1% over September of 2019. On the downside, they still have around 9% of franchisees not processing transactions yet. Either they've closed and haven't reported that back to FPN, or they haven't found a way to reopen yet. There's also an uptick in new accounts opening due to new franchise sales in 2020 as more people are looking to franchising. If you're looking for something buzzworthy to reward your customers, Pollinate is an all-inclusive loyalty and gift card technology company focused on the franchise space. Powered by Franchise Payments Network, they work with your team to help create a reward system that engages your customers, boosts sales, and boosts frequency. With Pollinate, franchise systems enjoy a 17% ticket lift and 50% increase in customer visits for those enrolled in the program. With Pollinate, everybody will earn, redeem, enjoy, and repeat. To learn more, check out Pollinate at pollinate.com/marketing. And welcome back, everybody. We have a couple of returning guests who I really wanted to get their opinion on what in the heck is going on right now. It's Ted Rubin and John Andrews, both of Fotify. Gentlemen, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Jack. A pleasure to be here. The weather's finally starting to turn a little bit in Florida. I've never spent an entire summer in Florida until COVID hit. And now I know why people complain about the heat. But fortunately, we've had some glimmers of change. So while guys start getting cold, we start getting, livable.
Livable, right. Let's do a temperature check. Florida, what's the temp today, Ted?
91.
Oh, my gosh. And John, you're in North Carolina today?
Yeah, in Raleigh, and we're having a Chamber of Commerce day. This is why you live in North Carolina.
Right. What's it like? Give me a temp.
72. No humidity. Thank gosh. Sorry for the Gulf, but no hurricanes here, which is always nice this time of year. And we're good.
Got it. So in Chicago, early October, it is unseasonably warm. We're in the 70s. And the 1 week forecast is we're going to be back down in the 50s. And the 6 week forecast is we're going to have, 3 feet of snow. So this is probably our last hurrah. Yeah. Yeah. And, so we're here in October of 2020. It's been a fabulous year by all accounts. And what I really wanted to talk to you guys about today is just some ideas for marketers who are really just kind of stumped right now. A lot of us who spend our days with Facebook and Instagram ads are seeing a lot of trouble, mostly because of the 2020 election that is about 3.5 weeks away. And all of the inventory on Facebook and some other social channels has been purchased by our friends at the national parties, and also in a lot of states by senatorial campaigns, governor campaigns, and even down to the local level. So we're seeing some staggering numbers with Facebook right now. Like last week, I think we were seeing about 10% of the reach we normally see for a lot of clients. Wow. So Facebook advertising, not really a great option for a lot of small businesses right now. So do you guys have any opening thoughts about maybe some other places where marketers should be looking right now?
It feels to me very analogous to what's happening when I'm watching my local news right now. So we're, North Carolina is a purple state, if you haven't heard. Basically, every news break is 8 political ads and like 1 car ad. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And car ads are, I think, still what keeps local news in business. Right.
But
I think, the problem is it's just so overwhelming. And I think our minds, thankfully, are programmed to squelch it out, but that affects everyone else too. So, and you know, if you go on Facebook or Twitter or anything else today, it's just a fire hose of noise from the campaign. And by the way, that's what it's going to be for the next 4 weeks. So, that's not unexpected. When you had said that stat about the performance, I've heard that repeated from several folks as well. And there's several industry articles. There was just a great Digiday article this past week about how several agencies have quietly advised their clients to just stop right now, because you're just not going to break through that wall.
Yeah. And what I really fear as well is if we all plan on reinstating all of those budgets on November 4th.
Yeah.
Right. We're all going to start jamming in, and it's going to be a big log jam as well. And we have a little thing called the holidays coming up right after that. Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting month.
Jack, I'd like to add something else to that. It goes in line with a presentation I just made the other day, that the world has changed and it's not going back. Now, I don't mean it's not going back at all, but there's a new normal. And truth be told, I don't think it's just about the election ending. I think we're in a period right now where there's just a lot of concern on both sides, regardless of who wins this election. I don't think that a lot of that advertising is just going to go away. I think that the winning side is going to look to leverage it. The losing side is going to look to combat it. I think that they're still going to have money coming in, and they're going to have budgets for these things. And I think I'm guessing that if you go back 4 years, that at every election, there tends to be this kind of time where there's an over excess of political ads that take away a lot of people's attentions. I would definitely feel it's probably way more so now this election, because I think there's a lot more people involved and concerned who were not involved in past elections. But I also think that's going to carry over. So I think that a lot of people, a lot of companies have to start thinking about, don't just get ready to turn the switch back on. How are we going to adjust to the new normal?
That's a really good point.
And I'm going to jump in with one other little self-serving tidbit here, self-serving for John and myself, in that I truly believe that a big answer to a lot of this going forward is employee and community created content. You know, something that, you know, Photify does, but let's steer clear of, you know, the Photify ad, because that's not what I'm looking to do here, because there's a lot of other ways to create it that's not just about us. But I think if companies don't start thinking about how they're going to empower their employees and their communities to share their message and to become a part of the creativity of that process, they're going to suffer.
Ted, we interviewed a new developer candidate yesterday, and we were discussing the business and had the greatest quote about our marketing languages, right? And I had made a comment in our discussion when we were talking about the business of, look, our marketing languages are changing, right? So big branded, you know, command and control advertising. By the way, it's still going to be there. But Ted, to your point, if you're not connecting with people locally and you're not connecting with people personally, you're losing, because there are people who are going to do that. And I think we have an expectation that, you know, my Domino's pizza, I don't even actually know where it is, but they bring me stuff, so it must be near my house. but my Domino's pizza is going to communicate with me kind of directly, you know, versus the big Domino's in the sky, of brand marketing. And I think, to Ted's point, that is fundamentally changed forever. And it doesn't mean, you know, personalization of, you got my name right in an email. That's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. Is you are producing content, connecting at the local level, at a personal level with me in a way that you're reaching me, you know, and that could be anywhere, right? It could be TikTok. It could be, it could be Facebook. It could be Twitter. It could be through my text, whatever way I want to communicate with you, you kind of got to be ready to do that. And there's just not as powerful way I know of it as community created content. Domino's has a massive force of communicators in the form of its franchisees, its employees, you know, who touch physically the customer. Maybe not as much today because of COVID, but
right.
They're pretty close, you know.
They're handing the box. It's pretty close.
Right. And Jack,
you know, closer than Ann Arbor, you know.
Talk about relevancy for your audience and the franchise business. It's not just about the corporate brand. It's about the local franchise and their ability to have an effect like this, and their ability not to have to rely on the corporate enterprise to create that. They can and need to be creating that connection themselves.
You know what I like about that, guys, is if you're, and let's just keep using Domino's because they're such a great franchise system. If you're Domino's, you can compete on the local level, and in many cases, you can own branding in a local community and really engaging with people the right way. If you're another type of company that's not a franchise, or you don't have local stores or local entities, let's say you're Oracle or Microsoft or something like that, you're kind of stuck at that corporate level. You can't really do anything locally. So you're going to be stuck paying those really high rates on Facebook and other places, whether it's an election or holiday season or whatever other big thing is coming down the road. So it's kind of a good time to be a franchise.
Yeah. And I think to your point, it's a great way to use that competitive advantage of being close to the customer in a way that others can't. You know what I mean? You're exactly right. So how do you do that? You've got to empower your people to become part of that connection process through content.
And think about this, Jack. Granted, you know, obviously the examples you gave are correct, but you know, beyond franchises, there are just big companies that do have local presences, and you need to start thinking about what impression and what happens with your employees who are having that face-to-face contact. So I had an issue today that, you know, I get a lot of things delivered. And the last week or so, I've noticed that the FedEx drivers aren't wearing masks anymore. Not one of them.
Huh.
And you know, I don't want to give a hard time to the driver. I don't want to have any kind of, plus who knows what they're being told. So I reached out via Twitter to FedEx, and I got to tell you, I'm about to start a war with FedEx, because all I'm getting back is corporate gobbledygook. Well, the local regulation state, and click on this link on our website. I'm like, hold on a second. Are you telling me, answer me? I feel like I'm talking to a politician. You see how I controlled myself there? but they won't give me, like, I keep saying, I just want to know, do you or don't you tell your delivery drivers to wear masks? Well, when the local ordinances, but I go, no. Have a force now that is out there every day coming face to face. You have the potential of being super spreaders. I said, and your drivers are not wearing masks. And what you're clearly in implicating to me here right now is that you're not telling them that they have to. And forget about just me. What, don't you care about your drivers? What about their health and well-being and safety? Why aren't they being encouraged beyond their own personal, you know, preferences to wear masks? And then, of course, a few outside people jumped in. How dare you criticize drivers, you know, for their job? And I'm like, wait a second. It's not that hard. They're getting into their truck after every delivery. So it's not like I'm saying they have to wear a mask 8 hours a day, but they get in their truck, they drive to the next stop, put the damn mask up and put it on. These guys are walking right up to me at my door. They're walking right up to me on my patio, and they're not even thinking twice about the fact that they're not wearing masks. Now, back to the real point.
Ted, to your point, that's a simple communication, right?
No, but here's the mistake. Here's where I was really going, and I apologize for running off a little bit. And
no, we love your rants here, Ted. Are you kidding? That's why we have you on.
I'm sorry for letting my passion get away with me. But here's an opportunity for FedEx to make a great impression, to build that relationship, to do the right thing, to say to the world, even though the local rules and the national rules don't say our drivers have to wear masks, all our drivers, when they engage or interact with a household or with a business, are required to wear masks. I mean, they are just dropping the ball here with an opportunity to create some community goodwill because they just don't have to.
And that's could you imagine a whole series of local drivers, whether they're in Florida, North Carolina, or Illinois, taking a quick selfie of them in their truck, and they're wearing a mask, and they flood Facebook and Instagram with, you know, local driver Joe wearing his mask in Chicago. That would be amazing.
Exactly.
We said this from the beginning of COVID. If you make your shoppers feel comfortable, they will, you know, politics aside, there are some people, I don't want to wear a mask. I got it. Don't understand it, but I got it. But if you make those shoppers, there is a big group of shoppers out there that are like, hey, you know, my wife and I, if we go to a restaurant or something, the staff's not wearing, you know, mask and preferably gloves, we're out.
Yeah.
We're out. So if you want this to be easier for those people who, you know, I think is the majority of folks that just, hey, can we just be safe? Show them, to Ted's point, how easy, what a layup marketing opportunity.
Layup marketing opportunity. And, you know, they're not coming to mind right now, but I got to tell you, every time an Amazon driver comes here, he's got a mask on.
Really?
Interesting. Every damn time.
Well, there you go.
So, and there you go, FedEx, some free marketing advice. We'll send you a bill at the end of the year.
When I was a kid, I grew up on a little dead end street, and we had a basketball goal at the end of the street that was 8 feet tall. So it, you know, once you got to be like one of the big kids, you could dunk on that thing, right? Yeah. So I'm talking about a layup on an 8 foot goal. Right?
Love that.
It's so easy. And, you know, but this goes to the whole concept of taking control of your own content creation.
Correct.
And your own message. And also just a little bit of forethought here. Like so many companies or businesses or even people do what, well, I don't have to do that. Or that's not the rules. Well, sometimes it pays to think beyond that.
I love that idea when it comes to creating content within the store or the facility or the local whatever, of showing someone not just wearing a mask and serving food, but show your cleaning staff, right? Like we've gone for, you know, hundreds of years not wanting our customers to see the cleaning crew. Right now, if I have a cleaning crew, I want to take pictures of them and put it on social media.
Calling it out. No right? kidding. No kidding.
Even if you don't have a cleaning crew, dress somebody up as if they are the cleaning crew and put that out there.
Think about the thing we always think with, I don't know if you've seen the article of 25% of delivery folks admit to tasting your food sometimes.
really?
Yeah, that's Ted's like, he's never ordered delivery again.
No way.
But imagine just to Jack, to your point, show people what you're doing, show them your safety precautions, show them just happy people that work for you and that are excited to come see you and bring you a pizza today, whatever. But yeah, it's so easy to make content that connects that local experience and really leverages that power of all of the reach of all the people that are connected to a franchise.
I mean, think about how easy it could be to be taking pictures of the inside of your kitchen, of everybody working, wearing masks, wearing gloves, or doing whatever you're doing, of taking pictures of the seating and how people are separated and how the waiters have masks on and some people are getting up to go to the clean, you know, the bathroom. Hey, do you mind if we take your picture and post it, whatever, you know, because I got to tell you, I've heard people say that, or there's only one place that I will get delivery from right now. It's the local Chinese place, because I was told that by my buddy who went there that, you know, first of all, you know, Chinese takeout, it's always open. You can see into the kitchen.
Yeah, sure.
So everybody's wearing masks. Everybody's wearing gloves. They put up like one of those bank type things. When you want your food, they put it in a tray. They push it out.
That's awesome.
You get your food, and like, and they're just making clear that everybody knows that. They send a picture of it. They include something that shows what their procedures are when they, you know, how they always give you the menu for mm-hmm. the next time you want to order.
Yeah.
Well, now that menu's got something saying, this is what we're doing to keep you safe.
That's the new menu is showing what we're doing, not just sharing the menu for the next time you order, but actually showing what we're doing behind the scenes. I love that idea.
Right. But the truth of the matter is people aren't doing it. So if you do, it's even that much better because you're the one that's doing it. Like, you know, first movers have an advantage. Because you're showing people, look, we care about you, and this is what's important. And truth be told, I think people are going to be a lot more careful, like we said, the new normal going forward. I think even after we get past this, people are going to be a lot more conscious about sanitary conditions.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because even, let's say COVID goes away tomorrow, what's next, right? There's right. going to be something else. And now that we know the moves, right? We've got our ways set in how we try to not spread something. So if there's some horrible flu next year, some other whatever, something contagious, we know what it's going to look like now.
I want to circle this back to your original question in that it is, how does this whole thing attach to, hey, there's so much noise out there right now, so much political noise, mm-hmm. our message is being hidden. Well, the truth of the matter is, start dedicating more of that budget to people, employees, community who can create content that doesn't cost you what the high dollar advertising is costing you, which is just getting drowned out by the political ads.
Perfect. John, before we go, what other things are the brands you're working with right now? What are they having really good luck with on that local level? We've talked about showing people cleaning or maybe employees or servers or whomever wearing masks. Are there other types of activities that small businesses and franchisees are making content out of and sharing that you really think is working, or, you know, anybody doing anything that's really kind of knocking your socks off?
Yeah. You know, what I think, I'm glad you asked that, because I was thinking about this earlier this morning, actually. So we all know, or we've heard how, you know, counterintuitive, maybe at least it seems that maybe the real estate market has been, right? So the mm-hmm. real estate market has exploded in a lot of places, you know, as people seek to do different things, they realize that, you know, home is now an office and a school and all the things,
right.
You know, RE/MAX and the National Association of Realtors are really using local market content to really drive consumer interest in that. I just see so many people sharing, here's what's going on in our market and here's what's great. Because real estate's not, you know, it can be different in a city, much, you know,
sure.
parts of the city, much less, you know, nationally. So, yeah, you hear national numbers and you're like, oh, I wonder what's going on here. Well, man, people are just feeding that with localized content about their place. And I just think, to the discussion we've already had, what an opportunity to do that for a franchise that has local knowledge about, you know, what's going on with schools and what's going on with local restrictions and guidelines and whatever, right? But to really personalize that down to a localized basis to make me feel more comfortable and connected to that business.
Excellent. Ted, before we go, any big projects going on or anything you're doing on your blog or other places that we can go check out?
Well, look, I'm publishing all the time. Right now, I am working on a post about AI and bots and how they can interact and work better with return on relationship in mind. Basically that a lot of it's not ready for prime time, but if you use it correctly, you can certainly make some of your easy and replicatable things easier. But if you leave out the personal component, just like John was talking about earlier, if you're not engaging and connecting, you're losing.
Excellent. And when that's ready, where can we find it?
At tedrubin.com.
tedrubin.com.
And probably half a dozen other places that I'll
we'll share it here.
I believe in syndication.
Yes, absolutely. And John, if people have some other questions about Fotify, they want to check it out for their franchisees, employees, and on down the line, where can we learn a little bit more about Fotify these days?
Oh, Fotify.com is an easy place. And feel free to send me an email, john@fotify.com. Pretty easy.
Perfect. Gentlemen, thank you so much. We will chat with you down the road.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you, Jack.
And now it's time for the Health and Safety Spotlight, brought to you by Northeast Color. Every week, we're looking at and sharing stories of franchise brands making a difference in health and safety. Here's a great story about a great franchise brand keeping other businesses safe. With federal and local health agencies warning about the possibility for a dangerous 1-2 punch with the flu season coming up along the continued COVID-19 pandemic, JanPro is sharing tips with business owners. Gary Bauer, president of JanPro Systems International, said, "During these times, it's important for business owners and employers to be able to showcase and explain how they are creating a safe and clean environment for their employees and customers. JanPro Cleaning and Disinfecting's EnviroShield system is the same system used to disinfect hospital operating rooms. JanPro's new tips include increased cleaning and disinfecting of frequently touched surfaces used. They suggest businesses consider staggering shifts for employees where possible, and they recommend increasing the number of times your space is cleaned by a professional commercial cleaner. If you have stories about how your franchise system is keeping everyone healthy and safe, let me know. We'll share them here, thanks to our friends at Northeast Color. Northeast Color is offering franchise systems help with social distancing floor decals, signs and window decals, suspended partitions for the front desk or workout stations, parking lot signage, and hand sanitizer pedestals with signage, all fully branded and customized for your franchisees. Learn more now at northeastcolor.com. And thanks to you for listening to Social Geek Radio. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. Copyright 2020 Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.